Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. 41, we have 41 boxes prepared. You still have an opportunity this afternoon. If you can have your shoebox back by tonight, we'll be delivering them next week, Tuesday. We're only going to try to deliver them to First Baptist in Cairo. So you still have an opportunity to share in that ministry. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Paul, the Apostle Paul, told King Agrippa and the governor Festus, he told them what? I shared the gospel of great and small. Now, that's my personal belief. Paul was talking about from slaves to kings. But I also believe he's talking about for numbers too, whether it was one or 100 or 1,000. He was going to share the gospel. And this is one way that we can participate, y'all, in sharing the gospel, as we've seen over the last few weeks with these videos. So I want to encourage you, if you have not already, please have your boxes here by tonight. Today, Brother Tim Duggan will introduce Brother Tim Williams. That's too many Tims, y'all. Just don't call me Timmy. Y'all know that story. I'll share that. That's a personal thing, but I'll share that. Amen, brother. I knew when I was in trouble because my mother either used my full name or she called me Timmy. And I answered all of them. I got sidetracked here, y'all. We'll have a fellowship meal after the morning service. So even if you did not bring anything, please stay in fellowship with us and get to know Brother Tim. He'll be back tonight also. Please stay with us for that meal. This Thursday at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap men's meeting. Meal will be provided. That's at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday at 6 p.m. is the community Thanksgiving service here at our church. There's a sign-up sheet on the table as you enter the church. Once again, I'm asking anyone and everyone, if you can, help us with this. Please do. We expect quite a crowd like we did with the associational meeting, so we're going to need all the help that we can to serve. So please keep that in mind. Do not forget, you'll hear more about this in the days coming. Saturday, December 7th, is our annual community supper here at the church. We're getting prepared for that. We'll have more announcements about that and items that we'll need and things like that at a later date. We had 30 in Sunday school this morning. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Whoa. Jesse, happy birthday.
Paul,
okay.
You don't have to sing.
Oh, no. Happy birthday. Okay, y'all. What key do you want to sing in?
Sing it in key of G.
G. No, key of G. G. No, no.
Okay.
You owe me that.
You want to start you off?
Okay. Paul or Jesse and Harold King.
So, all right.
Everybody.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just want to start this worship service off today, Lord, with a time of prayer, Lord. We do just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thank you for the freedoms that we have to gather together, Lord, to worship you today, Lord. And Lord, I know that there's a lot of distractions that go on each and every week, and even on Sunday mornings, Lord, that we can get distracted, Lord, just as in the Sunday school lesson this morning, that sometimes it's people, Lord, we know that will distract us from the message, Lord, but I just pray, Lord, today, Lord, that we come together And we focus solely on Jesus this morning, Lord, and that we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory this morning, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing together. We have heard the joyful sound.
Praise to His name, I say.
verse 7, if you're looking in the hymnals, probably, if not my favorite hymn, is right there at the top.
Thank you.
Rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. We want to welcome Brother Tim Williams here this morning. And God's already been moving in Sunday school hour this morning. And kids give hearts and lives to the Lord. And so we praise God for that. And I look forward to what God is going to do this morning through Brother Tim. Tim and I have known each other for quite some time now. I guess it's been about 13, 14 years. But we were telling somebody earlier, Amy sent me to Nicaragua with a one-way ticket. Well, he brought me back. So. we've been great friends. He's been a blessing to me and my family. And love him as my brother in Christ. I've seen God use him in powerful ways. And so I pray that you'll receive a blessing from him this morning through God. But at the same time, pray for him. He fractured his back a few weeks ago, months ago. He's going to have an epidural Wednesday, I think it's it. And so be in prayer for him. And so if you see him sit down while we're saying that, we'll read him mine. So anyhow, we'll put a chair up here so if he gets hurting, he'll have a place to sit. But let him bless you this morning through God's word. But at the same time, I believe as a man of God, we should bless him. And so at the end of the service this morning, we're going to take up a love offering for him. And if you're not prepared this morning, we'll take it up again tonight. And so just bless him because he's going to bless you through what God's going to allow him to do. So, Brother Tim, come on, brother.
Come on, brother. You're good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Well, let me just say what a joy and privilege it is to be here this morning. And I want to know if you love the Lord, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate Brother Tim. I'm so glad. You don't know how glad I am to be here in this church. And man, I love your pastor. I really do. And I'll be honest with you, he is way up here in my mind. I mean, he really is. But his wife is way, way up there in our heart and mind. And I love him. Man, she's really something. And we appreciate all you guys. And if you need to know anything about Brother Tim, later we'll meet. We can talk because I've got all kinds of good stuff on him, man. I really do. But anyway, I ask if you would remember my family today. I have a beautiful bride. And her name is Joy. And we live in Carrollton. Anybody ever heard of Carrollton, Georgia? Or Carroll, Georgia? And Carroll County. And we've got two lovely daughters. One named Brittany Joy. And she just moved to Detroit, so don't hold that against me, but can you imagine that, Detroit? My wife said, let's go visit in January. I said, no, not me, buddy. It's going to be bad up there. But anyway, she has backslid and moved as a Southern girl up there to Yankee land. And so anyway, we'll just pray for her, amen, that she'll get right. Her name is Brittany Joy. My wife, her name is Joy. And then I've got two sweet daughters, and the other one is... Ashlyn Joy, and so I appreciate if you'll remember those guys. And so I've got Joy, I've got Brittany Joy, I've got Ashlyn Joy. So you're right, I do have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, amen. But it is a joy and honor and a privilege to be here with you on this special day. I want to ask all of our teenagers and all of our little guys, if you would please stand up. All of our teenagers, man, we've got a bunch of them in the back. Man, all these old people, man, look at them, man, I'm telling you. And look at all these youth, man. That's wonderful, man. Give them a big round of applause. Isn't that wonderful, man? Good to have young people. And some of these guys made commitments during Sunday school. And so we're excited about their decisions. You guys can be seated. God bless you. And, man, we're just glad that you're in the house today. And tonight, I want to talk about how to share your faith. You know, as a child of God, we know that we are to be busy telling others about the love of God. And a lot of people, there are reasons why they do not share. Could be that they're afraid that they ask a question they don't know the answer to. It could be that they're introverted, not an extroverted. So they get a little nervous, get a little shy when it comes down to telling folks about Jesus. But one reason is because many people simply do not know how to tell folks about the love of God. And so tonight we're going to be sharing how to share the gospel, how to share your story and also the story of Christ. And to be able to share that good news of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you to come back tonight. And I've been blessed to have trained probably hundreds of folks in the opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning I want to talk about some men that I believe were good men, moral men, friendly men, but I believe they were more than just friendly. I believe we can call these four men true friends. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open them and turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, we'll conclude with verse 12. And please allow me to pray for us, and then we'll look at this passage together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to come. And Lord, open up the Word of God and share the good news of Christ. And Lord, in this world in which we live in, there's so much sad news, tragic news. Lord, just awful news. But Lord, we're able to come. Lord, in Wiggum, Georgia, on a Sunday morning, and open up the Word of God and share the gospel and share the good news of Christ. Lord, it is our prayer. There are those that have never truly been saved. But Lord, they'll come to faith and receive you and trust you into their life, their heart to be their Lord and be their Savior this very hour. And then Lord, also I pray for believers, men and women of faith, that need to be faithful in telling others about the love of God. So God, I ask you to do something amazing. Do something incredible. Do something that only you, our blessed Lord, would receive the glory and the honor and the praise. So, Lord, we love you, and, Lord, we ask you to bless, Lord, this morning. We pray these things in your name, the sweet name, above all names, the great name of Jesus Christ. We pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, look with me, if you would, Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. We'll conclude with verse 12. The Bible says, and again, he, which is Jesus, entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised or reported that he, Jesus, was at the house. Now, dearly beloved, if our church is going to continue to grow with new members, if it's going to grow with visitors, it needs to be noised that Jesus is in the house. I believe that a lot of our churches need to make up some noise. We need to let folks know that we do not serve a dead God, but that our God is alive and that he's well and that he has risen again and that we love him and we worship him and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And nothing wrong with making a little bit of noise in the community, letting folks know that God is blessing and God is moving the hearts and lives of God's people right here at Wiggum and right here at this Baptist church. And so again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he, Jesus, preached the word unto them. You ask me, Brother Tim, why were there so many people there? Insomuch there was no room to receive them, not even about the door. Friend, I believe that people were there because Jesus Christ was there. I believe they wanted to meet Jesus. I believe they wanted to hear Jesus. I believe they wanted to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we lost men and women of our community. Lord, come to fellowship. They need to hear and see Jesus in and through us. By the way, we pray, as we sing, as we worship, as we teach, as we preach, that we do not serve a dead God, rather we serve the true and living God, Jehovah God, the Son of God, and that he is alive and that he's well, and that he lives right here in our hearts. Verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was brought afore. And when they come not near to him for the press or the roof, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed in which the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, when I first read this many years ago, it kind of caught me that here's a man that is sick, a man that is lame, a man that really has a disease. It would attack his nervous system. This man cannot walk. He cannot stand. He cannot crawl. And Jesus sees this man, and he simply says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, you would think you'd say, hey, here's a man that is lame. Here's a man that is sick. And let's touch him and be healed. And would you stand? And would you take your cot and go your way into your own house? And we see that later. But right here, we understand that Jesus, yes, was concerned about the man's physical being, but he was greatly involved in the man's physical condition. And so he was concerned about this man's soul. So the Bible says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. For there were certain scribes sitting there reasoning or considering in their hearts, why do this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they shall reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed, and that and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine own house. And immediately the Bible says, he arose, took his bed, and went before them all, insomuch they were all amazed, and they glorified God, they honored God, they magnified God, said, we've never seen it on this fashion. Now, friends, when we look at the scripture together, we can look at several different aspects. For instance, we can look how the scribes hated Jesus, how they tried to find fault in Jesus, how they tried to trick him or to trip the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, as Bible students, we realize that there was no fault in Jesus. There is no fault in Jesus. There never will be any fault or any blemish or any sin in the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we can look how this man that was sick of the palsy, how he must have had an unusual amount of faith. Can you imagine those men coming to him and saying, hey, there's a man by the name of Jesus, and he's a great teacher. Matter of fact, we've seen him do miracles, and we believe that he has the power to do miracles still today. And, you know, he could have come up and said, listen, I appreciate your concern, but I've had physicians come, and they have prayed over me, and their prayers have done me no good. And I've had those that are physicians come and give me medical treatment, and their medicines simply have not worked. I don't believe this man named Jesus can help me either. Friend, I believe that this man that was sick of the palsy had an unusual amount of faith. I believe he had the kind of faith that if he could get a glimpse of Jesus, that Jesus would in fact heal his body. Maybe even touch a thread of the garment of Christ, that Jesus would in fact heal this man's condition. But really what I want to look at today is this. There were four men that carried one man to Jesus. And those four men were good men. I'm sure they were moral men. But they were more than just moral men. I believe these four men are what we could call true friends. I want you to know there's a difference in being a true friend and being friendly. Matter of fact, I want to ask you this morning, are you a true friend or are you just friendly? And we need to be friendly. Matter of fact, badness need to work on being friendly. But we need to be more than just friendly. We need to be true friends. And I ask you this morning another question. Is this church a friendly church? Or is it more of a true friend church? I want you to know everybody I've met has been very, very friendly. Matter of fact, I met Brother Tim over there. He shook my hand and he joked about having two or three Tims in the house today. And he was very, very friendly. I tell you what, I met some of our young people right over here, old Junior. And Junior is very, very friendly. And I've met also some of the other leaders and some of the other members of the church. And they are very, very friendly. Matter of fact, I think that this church would probably be known as a very friendly church. But I believe that we need to be more than just friendly. I believe we need to be more like a true friend and a member of a true friend church. These four men were true friends. I know they were for many reasons, but the first reason why I know they were true friends is because they did not minimize his condition. Look with me again at verse 37. And they came, or actually verse 3. And the Bible says that they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was brought for. They were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. Remember, understand, this man was sick, this man was lame, and the only way this man could get to Jesus is if those four men went to him physically, picked him up physically, carried him physically, and made a hole in the roof physically. They were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. You think about it. They could have come up to a guy like Brother Tim and said, Brother, we just want you to know that we love you, and Brother, we're praying for you, and we realize that you're kind of sickly now. We just want to come by and tell you that we're praying for you. By the way, here's a card. Everybody in the Sunday school class has signed the card. And listen, you know, we just want to give you some of those chocolate chip cookies. You know, my wife makes those real good kind. And we just love you and we're praying for you. And by the way, if you feel better, get on down there with us. We're going to see Jesus today. We love you. God bless you. They might have been friendly men, but they would have not been true friends. Friendly to go to the man. Friendly to pray for the man. Friendly to give him a card of encouragement. Friendly to give him some food. But ladies and gentlemen, if they would have left that man lying there in that condition with really, physically, no way to get to Jesus, they might have been friendly men, but they would have not been true friends. They were true friends because they did not minimize this man's condition. And ladies and gentlemen, as men and women of faith, it's so important that we not minimize the condition of those that we live around, because many are lost and the only hope they have is a child of God like you, a friend like you, and a true friend church like this that would be willing to go and share the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ still loves and he still forgives. And aren't we all glad that Jesus Christ still saves? They were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. And then let's just think about it. I know some of y'all say, well, Brother Tim, we live, you know, around Bangor. We live over here near Cairo. And we don't live in Tallahassee. Matter of fact, we don't live in Miami. We don't live in Jacksonville. And we ain't going to live in Atlanta, Brother Tim. We don't even live in Albany or Albany. We live over here. We don't have drugs and alcohol and immorality where we live. Man, we've got good folks where we live. Well, number one, don't fool yourself. Because outside the walls of this church, there are men and women and young people that are engaging in sin, and they need a Savior, and they need a friend to go to them and love them and share with them the gospel that Jesus Christ is willing to cleanse and forgive and to save. But you know what? You're right. There's a lot of good folks that live over here in this community. But be reminded, good old boys won't make it into heaven unless those good old boys know Jesus. Unless those good old boys have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, they were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. And we've got friends, and we've got family, and we have neighbors, and we have fellow students, and we've got people that live in our community and those that live around our community. And friend, it's imperative as men and women of God, as men and women of faith, that we go and share the gospel, the good news of Christ with them. And that's why tonight I'm going to share with you how to share the gospel. And I'm not saying I got the only way, and I'm not saying I got the best way, and I'm not saying you got to go with this way, but I know this is a very simple approach of how to share with family and friends the gospel, the good news of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. But then also look with me at verse 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, and when they come not near to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed in which the sick of the palsy lay. Again in verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. But secondly, they were true friends because they were willing to work together. As I understand it from seminary days, and you guys kind of help me, okay? Some of you Sunday school teachers and Brother Tim, you help me out. As I understand it from seminary days, there was one man that was sick, and he would be laying on a cot, kind of like an old-timey army cot, with four corners. And we read that there were four men that carried one man to Jesus. Just wonderful how God kind of worked that out. Four corners and four men. Now, I know it would never happen here in this church, but I wonder what would have happened if one of those men would have said, do you see that right corner? My name is on that right corner. Matter of fact, I've always carried that right corner. And if you boys don't let me carry the corner that I'm going to carry, then I'm going home and I'm going to quit and I'm just never coming back. You guys are always picking on me and never let me do what I want to do, and I'm going to carry the corner that I want to carry. And if you let me carry the corner that I want to carry, then I'm going home and I'm going to quit and I'm just never coming back. Now, I know that never happens here. I guarantee you that don't happen here. But I want you to know it happens in 99.9% of every Southern Baptist church almost every Sunday morning. And listen, it happens all around our community because I've been to a lot of these churches around our community. In other words, if you let me sing what I want to sing, then I'm going home and I'm going to quit and I ain't coming back. If you let me teach what I want to teach and when I want to teach and where I want to teach, I'm going home and I'm going to quit and I'm not. Hey, listen, if you let me do what I want to do, then I'm going home and I'm going to quit and I ain't coming back. Friend, all I'm hearing is I, and me. And what we need to be hearing is what? Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, as a child of God and as a member of this church, it doesn't matter when we're getting people to Jesus. If you have the right front corner or the back left corner, all that matters is you've got your hands on the cot and you're involved in the process of bringing lost men and women and young people to faith in Jesus Christ. They were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. We cannot minimize their condition. They were true friends because they were willing to work together. And I'll be honest with you, if we're going to work together, we got to communicate. Has anybody here ever put up fence? Anybody ever had the privilege of putting up fence? I always get tickled when I see that because there'll be a guy back there with his wife and she raises her hand. He's like this. He ain't ever done that ever, you know. And she's having to do all the work. Well, I want you to know, you think about it, that really and truly, you think about that, that we need to be faithful Man, I kind of got off kilter here, man. I tell you what, I got lost. Where am I, man? I don't know. Anyway, well, the truth of it is, man, that we need to be what? Willing to what? Work together. And if we're going to work together, we've got to communicate. And the first one we did communicate to is who? Our pastor? Well, not really. The first one we did communicate to is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. And you know what? If we're going to see revival, we're going to see revival in the church, we need to begin to communicate and say, Lord God, send revival, but let it begin with me. Lord, send revival to my church. Lord, send revival to my pastor. Send revival to our staff. Lord, send revival to our lay leaders. Lord, send revival to our men's ministry, our women's ministry. Lord, send revival to those that lead us in worship. But Lord, would you let that revival begin in my heart and begin in my life? Could you imagine if God's people would get serious about praying for revival? And I'm not saying you're not, but you know, there's a lot of churches that really aren't serious about praying for revival. Matter of fact, I believe they probably can't ever have revival. And so why should I pray for revival? But I want you to know the only hope we have is not to be a Democrat. The only hope we have is not to be a Republican. The only hope we have is to not see Trump win. The only hope we have is what? Jesus Christ, and that he might bless and send a revival that really might start a change in the hearts and lives of God's people, but also a change that starts in the hearts and lives of people in our community. The only hope we have is Jesus. I saw a picture the other day, and it said it wasn't the elephant, and it wasn't the donkey. It was the Lamb. It was the Lamb of God. He's the only one that has the power to cleanse us. The only one that has the power to save us. The only one that has the power to change our lives. And so they were true friends because they did not minimize his condition. They were true friends because they were willing to work together. And buddy, we got to communicate to the Lord and communicate to one another. Pray for one another. Uplift one another. Challenge one another. In fact, I've never met a pastor that did not need to be loved on and prayed for. I've never met a deacon that didn't need somebody just to love on him and pray for him. I've never met a Sunday school teacher that didn't need somebody just to encourage that person, love that person, pray for that person. I've never met a song leader that didn't need somebody to say, hey, thank you for leading us in worship. Thank you for singing those glorious songs. Thank you for all you do. I've never met a pastor's wife that didn't need to be somebody just to wrap their arm around them and love them and encourage them. Man, I've never met a Christian, if they were honest about it, that didn't need somebody just to say, I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm thankful for you. How can I pray for you? How can I help you? How can I be a part of serving alongside of you? Oh, dear friend, they were true friends because they were willing to work together. If we're going to work together, we've got to communicate to the Lord. We've got to communicate to each other. But also, if we're going to reach this lost community, we've got to reach out to those that can hear our voice and share the gospel and witness and share the good news that Jesus is willing to cleanse them and forgive them, and he'll save them if they'll put their faith and trust in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were true friends because they didn't minimize his condition. Are you a true friend? They were true friends because they were willing to work together. Are you willing to work together to see a great impact in the hearts and lives of people right here in this fellowship, right here in this church? Oh, dear friend, they were true friends because they were willing to do the unusual. Also, friend, I know they were true friends not only because they didn't minimize the condition and they were willing to work together, but they were willing to do the unusual. And you think about right here in verse 4 and verse 5, and when they come not near to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed in which the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. To friends, because they were willing to do the unusual. Can you imagine those guys trying to get to the door? Can't even get to the door? Why? Because it's just too many people there. Why are they all there? Because Jesus Christ is there. And by the way, I think it ought to be that way at every church. Every Sunday morning. Boy, you better get down there early. Why? Well, it's just good. Why? Is it the singing? Well, the singing's good. Is it the preaching? Well, the preaching's good. But man, why is everybody getting down there so early? Because Jesus is there. Man, they want to worship Jesus. Man, they want to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The great I am, our Lord, our Savior, our Master. But they want to serve King Jesus. Hey, listen, that's what causes people to want to come. Matter of fact, I was reading the other day about revival. And you know, Brother Tim, in the Old Testament, when they discussed having revival, obedience-like revival, it was really talked about that people would run towards revival. And many times we run away from revival. Man, if I go to revival, I got to pray. If I go to revival, I got to give. If I go to revival, I got to sacrifice. If I go to revival, I'll miss Monday Night Football. If I go to revival, hey, man, instead of running towards the Lord, running towards revival, running towards a spiritual awakening, running towards a change that takes place, many times God's people simply run away. And I want to encourage you as a child of God, don't run away from God. But man, run to Him. Man, run towards Him. Then want God to do a work in your heart and a work in your life. They were true friends because they were willing to do the unusual. I can imagine those guys going, listen, I've got a good idea. Let's get a rope or something and a ladder, and we'll boost this little boy up there on the roof, and we'll make a big old hole in that roof, and we'll lower him right there in front of the feet of Jesus, and then Jesus, He'll do something for our friend. You know, we're trying to get through the door. We can't get through the door. Trying to get through the window. Can't get through the window. The only way is through the roof. I want you to know, could you imagine those guys up there on that roof? Could you imagine those guys tearing up that roof? All of a sudden, sticks and debris and mud and grass is going everywhere. And all of a sudden, they lower him right there in front of the feet of Jesus, that man that is sick of a palsy, that man that cannot walk, that man that cannot even stand, that man that there's no way he can even crawl. And all of a sudden, they lay him right there in front of the feet of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus touches him, and Jesus heals his body. Jesus does a work in his life. I don't know about you, but I need God to do a work in my life. I want God to do a work in my life. And part of being saved is not only being born again, not only being forgiven, and not only being changed, but also the process that Jesus is changing me. In other words, I am not what I was 10 years ago in Christ. I am not what I was when I was 18 years old in Christ. I am a new creature. There's a change that's taking place. Now, there's a change in my life. And that change only comes with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were true friends because they did not minimize His condition. Are you a true friend? Man, we cannot minimize their condition. Our buddies at work, our neighbors, our family, our daughter-in-law, our sister. We cannot minimize their condition. Many are lost. And the only hope they have is you, a child of God that will love them and share with them the gospel. Some of you guys have men that you have been buddies with for years. Man, you eat lunch together. You hunt together. You fish together. You hang out together. Man, and some of these guys are good guys. I mean, if you had a problem with a truck or you had a problem with your house, boy, they'd be over there in a half a second. They're good men, but they are sinners. And the Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. They need a Savior. And they need a friend that will love them enough to talk to them about the love of God. How do you do that? We're going to talk about that tonight. How do you get in that conversation? I've known Bobby for 13 years, and I've never witnessed to Bobby. How do I even begin? We're going to talk about that tonight. How to tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, they were true friends because they were willing to work together. Hey, listen, we got to work together. Man, it's not just the pastor. It's not just the deacons. It's not just the Sunday school teachers. It's not just the guy in the sound booth. It's not just the guy that led us in worship. It's not just Brother Tim that gave announcements. Man, it's all of us. Man, even teenagers working together. Man, to reach lost men and women and young people with the gospel of Christ. And by the way, here's the leader. Now, I'll be honest with you. The Bible doesn't tell us who the leader was. Man, I've read that thing 40, 50 times, and it doesn't say who was the leader. But you know what? Here is your leader. And by the way, if you think he's perfect, you're wrong. Ask his wife. She'll tell you, no, he's way, way, way far from perfect. Man, I know him pretty good. He's a good guy. He can cook. He's a good guy. He can preach. He's a good pastor. But he is far from perfect. Man, let me tell you something. By the way, I'm far from perfect, and you are too. That's why we've got to have somebody that's a leader. Somebody that will lead us. And by the way, if he's leading us to do sinful things, no way. If he's leading us to do something that's theologically incorrect, no way. But if he's leading us to be spiritual-minded, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to reach the lost, to grow spiritually, hey, man, we need to get behind him. And we need to do all we can to serve the Lord alongside of him. And by the way, Brother Tim, that doesn't mean that you drive the church. Man, you don't drive anybody. Man, you don't drive your wife. I guarantee you that don't work. And by the way, you may drive your husband, but it ain't going to work for long. He's going to bow up. He ain't going to want to be driven. But we got to lead. There's a difference than driving and leading. And by the way, we need to lead our children to love the Lord and lead our families to love the Lord. But we need to lead our church to serve the Lord and put God first in our lives and make a difference in, we're going to make a difference in our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a true friend? Or are you just friendly? Is this church a true friend church? Or are you just a friendly church? By the way, I believe y'all are at least friendly. I mean, there's some Baptist churches I've been into, they're not unfriendly. At least y'all are friendly. But man, we need to make a decision. Are we going to be just friendly? Or are we going to be more than just friendly? Or are we going to be a true friend church that loves people and wants to make a difference spiritually in their lives? They were true friends because they were willing to do the unusual. Going through the roof. That's pretty unusual. And by the way, could you imagine somebody doing that today, going through the roof? In fact, we'd have some deacons upset about it. Man, you're tearing up our roof. Man, they'd be upset about it. Man, it's going to cost us money. Could you imagine those guys tearing up that roof? One of those guys saying, stop, guys, wait a minute. We're tearing up this roof, and we're making a hole in this roof, and this house belongs to somebody, and this roof belongs to somebody. Man, you're going to cost me a whole lot of money. And I hear one of them say, I don't care if I have to pay to repair the roof and put a brand new roof on this place. I got a friend, and I love my friend, and my friend is in trouble. My friend needs Jesus. And he's a healing from God, but he also needs Christ. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to get my friend to Jesus. Now you say, now wait a minute, Brother Tim. Didn't they teach you in seminary? I mean, I didn't go to seminary. Didn't they teach you in seminary? And I did go to seminary. That the gospel's free? Yes. But remember who it cost. It cost God his son. It cost him everything. It cost Jesus his life. Let me just tell you something, man. To reach people today, it costs something. And not always money. Sometimes sweat. Time. Energy. Commitment. Yielding. Surrendering. Working together. Sometimes you got to put your hurts and your bad feelings aside and say, I'm not sure about him, I ain't sure about her, but I know this. We're going to work together. We're going to do all we can to make an impact in our community. And by the way, how do you get over hurt in the church sometimes? Have y'all ever been hurt? Why don't you know, probably most preachers, most staff, most deacons, most members have been hurt. I've been hurt. I mean, I've really been hurt. I mean, I could tell you some stuff, it make your hair on the back of your neck. It curl up. I mean, really. I lost a grandbaby. You'd be surprised how ugly people were when I lost my grandbaby. Can you imagine that? Being ugly about a baby dying? Could you imagine? Man, I ain't going to get into it. You'd get all mad. You'd say, man, that church is awful. But you know what helps me to love people is to pray for them. Can I just tell you, if I don't agree with them, I can at least pray for them. And I don't mean pray, God give them. I don't mean that kind of praying, all right? I mean pray for them. Pray that God will bless them and love them and God will help me to love them and pray for them. We got to come together. Man, listen, I don't know about you, but Jesus is coming again. If you believe that, would you say amen? Amen? Man, I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming again. And we got to get ready. And man, listen, we got to work together. And we got to put those hands on that cot and march and work together. Sometimes it's a vacation Bible school. I'll be honest with you. I'm 61 years old. I have been in VBS forever. And I know there's some women, they love Vacation Bible School. There's some women, man, if they never did another one, they'd be thrilled. Because they've been doing it forever and they're tired. But buddy, we got to work together. And you know what? We've got to reach men for Jesus. And there's some men in here that are zealous about the Lord. There's some men in here that say, you know what, man, I've been trying to win that old boy, and I'm just tired, man. If he don't want me to say, he don't want to go to heaven, I can't make it. You're right. But buddy, we can still be Christ-like. We can still love them. We can still encourage them. We can still invite them. Sometimes it's a men's meeting. By the way, if y'all want to have good barbecue, here's a man that knows how to do it. Man, he can fix barbecue and share the gospel. What else you want? Man, that's pretty good, amen. I don't know if he can fix sides or not. They can do barbecue. Amen. And listen, sometimes we've got to reach women. And listen, there's all kinds of women and women that need the Lord in this area that need the Lord. And by the way, there's some young women. And can I say this? That we need, as mature women and mature men, to love and reach and mentor younger men and women. Listen, I don't mean try to get something out of them. I mean just love them. Just love them. This week where I was in Oklahoma, there was a girl, and it's sad. She's about 19 and she is with child. Her husband-to-be is 17, almost 18. And they got a baby coming. They're not married. They're about to get married. They got a baby coming. And it's not the best circumstances. But one of the things I suggested, I said there needs to be a man that will come and mentor this young man. How to be a father. He don't know. His father's pretty sorry. He don't know. How to be a husband. How to be a man of God. How to pray with your family. How to read the Bible with your family. How to support your family. And by the way, here's a girl. What did I say? About 18, 19 years. Man, she's never been a mother before. And by the way, you know when you have that baby, they don't send you home with a manual. I mean, you don't know what in the world you're doing. Holy hope you've got is a meemaw or a mama that'll help you. And then half the time the women don't want nobody helping them. You know what I'm saying? Man, I know. Don't tell me what to do. I know, mama. I'm going to do it. You know what I'm talking about. Don't y'all look at me that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And they need somebody that'll come and say, baby, I love you. And what a beautiful baby. And can I give you a suggestion? Can I buy you some diapers, man? You need any for me? Hey, can I come by and watch the baby for a few minutes while you get a shower, while you can have a break? I mean, you know, and hey, can I come over there and paint your nails? I mean, you know, can I come over there and love on you and mentor and love that person? Could you imagine if the church would really begin to pray and get serious and really begin to touch people physically? This church I was in last week, it's amazing. 3 years ago, they were running 40. That's about what y'all are running right now. 40. That was on a good day, 40. 3 years ago, Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, they had 200. 200. And by the way, they're in a tough town. A liquor town, a gambling town, carousing town. It's a tough town. It's in Oklahoma, a lot of Indians, a lot of Hispanics, a lot of folks that don't have much money. And buddy, they've made a great impact. And they do have a judge, okay? They got a judge and they got a funeral home man, and then they got this common folk like you and me. I mean, man, they got two guys that got a little money. Everybody else is just regular like us. And listen, they made an impact in that little community, and they're running 200. Wednesday night, we had over 250 people. When we finished on Wednesday night, we had 64 people that prayed to receive Christ. Men and women and young people. The only thing I can tell you is this. They have caught the vision to bring people. And I'll be honest with you, the preacher told me, he has made visit after visit after visit after visit after visit. You're just saying, hey, I'm a new guy. And you know, some of them throw the door, you know, some of them open the door, some of them don't answer the door. But man, listen, and by the way, I think they're baptized in like 15 or 16 people this morning. And they'll be baptized some more. Hey, if it can happen in Oklahoma, okay, it can happen in South Georgia. It can happen right here. And you may not run 200, but you might run 80. You might run one day run 100. And listen, wouldn't that be glorious? You know why some folks are scared about that? Because I might lose my leadership. Or I might lose my authority. I might lose leading this church. Listen, man, it ain't my church. It ain't your church. I'm not trying to be rude. It's God's church. It ain't Tim's church. Tim's just a preacher. I'm just a friend. I'm just a guest. Man, listen, you're just a servant. Man, listen, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the King of this church. He's the master of this church. He's the leader of this church. And by the way, he did real good before I came along. He'll do real good when I'm gone. And I'm not trying to be ugly, Brother Tim, but he don't need you. He don't need me either. And I'm not trying to be ugly, for he don't need you. But buddy, he wants you, and he wants Tim. He wants us to come together, work together, serve together. So hopefully we can make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. They did things unusual. Now let me just say this. The gospel doesn't change. The gospel will never change. So just be sure that you're clear on that. But sometimes our methodology can change. Sometimes it's a revival. And I know a lot of churches won't have a revival. They go, well, that revival's over. They still work. And where I go, they work. I know they work. But sometimes it's something maybe different to help reach children or young people or young married couples or maybe families or single girls or women or old folks. Man, I'm one of them old folks now, man. I'm up there. And I think I'm a senior adult now, right? All right? I can't hardly walk. I'm hurting so bad. I can't hardly stand. And I'm getting old. Hey, lady, that's not funny, okay? Don't laugh, okay? All right? You're going to get old one day, too. I'm telling you. Hey, listen, here's the deal, folks. Hey, we need to work together to make an impact. But can I say this? It's hard to be a witness. It's hard to tell folks about Jesus if you don't know Jesus. It's hard to brag on Jesus if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's hard to make an impact for the Lord if you don't know the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus? I mean, it's hard to brag on your grandkids if you don't have grandkids. Matter of fact, I'm hearing Tim. He brags on his grandkids. I'm just sick and tired of hearing about his grandkids. I'm telling you, he just brags on his grandkids. How many you got? You only got just one. I got four. And mine are better than yours. Amen. I'm just telling you. No, I'm kidding. It's hard to brag on your wife if you don't have a wife. I heard a guy one time. This is crazy. This is truth. He said, man, you ought to meet my wife. I said, man, I'd be nice to meet her. Boy, she's gorgeous. Man, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. I said, all right, when am I going to meet her? He said, when I meet her, I'll let you know. Oh, man, that is wrong, man. That is bad. You know, it's hard to brag on your boyfriend if you don't have a boyfriend. It's hard to brag on your husband if you don't have it. Hard to brag on Jesus if you don't know Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Sir, do you know Jesus? Young person? Teenagers? Do y'all know Jesus? Sweet ladies, do you have a relationship with him? If you do, I'll see you in glory. But if you don't, you need a meeting here today. And you know what? One of the first steps you can make in meeting Jesus is simply through prayer. By praying and asking Jesus to cleanse you and forgive you of your sin. By the way, isn't that wonderful to know that God has the power to forgive? But he also has the power to cleanse. And you know what? Not only cleanse me and forgive me, but also put your faith and trust in Jesus to come into your life. To be your Lord and to be your Savior. Now, no doubt there's some adults here that know Jesus. No doubt there's some young people here that know Jesus. And by the way, I think there were maybe two or three young people today in Sunday school that prayed to receive Jesus. And we're thrilled about that. But you know what? There may be one or two adults here, or maybe another kid that say, you know what, Brother Tim? I love Jesus. I believe the Bible. I like church. But I don't really know Jesus. I've never really repented of my sin. I've never really asked the Lord to forgive. I've never really truly asked Christ to come into my life to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Friend, if you're saved, that's glorious. I'll see you in glory. But if you haven't truly been saved, this morning, right there where you're seated, not down here, not in the back room, not in another room, but right there where you're seated, I want to give you the opportunity in a moment just to pray. And in that prayer, you can just tell Jesus you love him and thank him for loving you. Thank him for dying on the cross for your sin. I think that's a good thing. Hey, admit you're a sinner. That's biblical. God, I'm a sinner. Lord, cleanse me and forgive me of my sin. Big word, repent. That means turn. Somebody asked that today. What's repent? Turn from your sin. And turn your eyes and your face before God and ask him for forgiveness and cleansing. And then ask him to come into your life. To be your Lord and be your Savior, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, how do you know he'll save me? Because the Bible says so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Aren't you glad it says whosoever? Aren't you glad it didn't just say women folk or men folk, or black folk or white folk or brown folk or Asian folk? Aren't you glad it says everybody? For whosoever. But that's one thing wrong with our world. We need some more whosoever. Because, man, God's the only one that changes. He's it. Education? Good. Won't change it. Money? Good. Won't change it. Medicine? Good. Won't change it. Government? Good. Bad. Whatever. Indifferent? Won't change it. But let me tell you, Jesus will make the difference. Jesus can change our heart. Jesus can change our heart. We put our faith and trust in him. I want to encourage you to do that today. Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord. What does it mean to be my Lord? What does that mean? It's more than just save me from hell and save me to heaven. is really be my leader, be my boss, be my president, be my king. Be in charge of me. And by the way, that's why I'm not trying to be ugly to men, but that's one reason why it's hard to win men to Christ. It really is. Women will get saved fairly easy. Kids will get saved fairly. Men have a hard time getting saved sometimes. You know why? Because they love their sin more than they love God. If I get saved, I don't want to be a hypocrite. So if I get saved, I can't drink. I can't party. I can't run around with women. I got to quit my gambling. I got to quit my pornography. I got to quit all these bad habits. I got to stop all that stuff. And by the way, you're not going to stop that stuff and then get saved, so just give up. Man, you get saved and God will help you stop that sin. But you ain't going to do it on your own. You can go to AA and CWT and faith and everything else, and man, it'll help you, but it ain't going to make you change until you meet the changer, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one that has the power to change your heart and change your life. Do you know Jesus today? If you do, I'll see you in glory. But if you don't, young people in the back, young people right over here, mom and dads, buddies back there in the back, young folks right over here, and you know the Lord, if you do, I'll see you in heaven. But if you don't, why don't you meet him here today? And in a moment, leave this room, go back there and eat some great barbecue and all kinds of good stuff. But leave here saying, I don't hope I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. Today, I know that I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because today it happened to me. Today, I put my faith and trust in Jesus. If you're going to serve him, you got to know him. If you're going to live for him, you got to know him. If you're going to tell others about him, you need to know him. And Daddy, let me say this, and then we're going to pray. The best thing you could ever do, and listen to me, is to bring that kid, to bring that grandchild, to bring that wife to Jesus one day. As they follow you, not the bar, not the bad habits, and not the hell, but to follow you to the Master, and to follow you to heaven. A lot of mamas are already doing that. But we need daddies to do that as well. And we need men to help other men come to faith and know Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Y'all have been so gracious. Y'all listened well. I appreciate that. And I hope I haven't been too boring today. I don't want to be boring. But I do want to communicate with you, and I hope I've been able to challenge you today and encourage you today. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First question is, how many here would say, Brother Tim, I know Jesus as my Savior. Tim, I remember the day that the Lord saved me. And Tim, if I died this morning, I don't want to die this morning. This is not a good morning to die. But if I did die today, or I died tonight, or tomorrow, the next, then I may put my body in the grave, but my soul is going to be with Jesus. Why? Because I remember the day that the Lord saved me. If that's your testimony, you know that you're saved, you know you belong to Jesus, would you just simply lift your hand right there where you're sitting? I know I'm saved. I remember the day that the Lord saved me. And if you're able to say that with confidence, just lift your hand. If you're not, don't raise it. Don't raise it if you don't know. God bless you. You may put your hands down. As I looked around, a lot of folks raising their hands. And that's wonderful. And we praise God for that. I want to ask another question. How many others would say, Brother Tim, I got saved this morning in Sunday school. Man, I was over here and met with the young people. Met with the kids. And I prayed with you. And I asked Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me and save me this morning. And I meant that prayer in my heart. If you prayed with me this morning and you asked Jesus to be your Savior and you're glad you did, would you just simply lift your hand one last time, those that prayed with me this morning? And man, that's wonderful. I see one and maybe two, and that's wonderful. That's great. God bless you. May put your hands down. I want to ask another question. And how many others would say, Brother Tim, I'm not sure that I've ever really truly been saved. But I know this, I don't want to die without Jesus. I do not want to die in my sin. And Brother Tim, I do not want to die and go to hell. I need God's love. I need his forgiveness. And Tim, I would like to be saved, and I'd like to be saved before it's too late. Before I die, I need Jesus in my life. I want to pray for you, but I need to know who to pray for. So this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, really nobody moving, nobody looking, how many men and how many women and how many young people say, Brother Tim, please pray for me. Please remember me. I'm just not sure that I've ever settled this. I'm not sure that I've ever really truly been saved. But Tim, I need to be saved. And I would like to be saved before it's too late. So I know who to pray for so I can pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Would you also lift your hand this morning? That's right, just lift your hand. Be sure I see it. Brother Tim, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. And I see one little girl, I'm going to pray for her. Before I do, are there others? I see a young lady, we're going to pray for her. Are there others? Anyone else? They said, Brother Tim, remember me, pray for me. I need to confess my sin. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I've never really, truly put my faith and trust in Christ. But I need to do that. Before it's too late, I need Christ in my life. So I know who to pray for. Would you also just lift your hand? Be sure I see you. And I'll know who to pray for. And then I'll pray for you. Anyone else? Quickly. Anyone else? That's awesome. This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for you. And I want to be honest with you. I want to pray for you. My prayer is good, but my prayer won't save anybody. You need to pray. And so what I like to do is pray for you, but then I like to pray with you, where you can pray. And in that prayer, tell Jesus you love him. Thank him for loving you. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. And ask him to come into your life to be your Lord and be your Savior. You say, how do you know he'll save me? The Bible says that he's faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of our sin. The Bible says in John 3:16 that he will save you if you'll call upon his name and ask him to be your Savior. He'll save you today. And by the way, he saved me. And he saved Brother Tim. And he saved others. And he saved a few this morning. And he'll save you today. If you'll ask him, trust him to do so. So let me pray for you right now. And then let me just help you pray, lead you in a prayer where you can be saved. By the way, the prayer doesn't save anybody. No more than walking down an aisle will save you. Those things don't save you. Jesus saves you. But we communicate our desires and our heart through words, and we call that prayer. And so I encourage you to pray with me in a moment and put your faith and trust in him. And I'm going to ask men and women, and even students, to pray for these today, and others that need Jesus to be their Savior. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to share a very simple, simple message about why we need to be faithful, to be a true friend, a witness. And Lord, I pray for those that raised their hands this morning saying, Tim, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I need to be. I want to be. Jesus, I know you love them. I know you died on the cross for them. You died for the world, but you died for them, for their sins. And Lord, not only did you die, but you've been risen from the grave. And Jesus, you have the power to forgive, the power to cleanse, and you have the power to save. And so, Lord, I pray right now, just a moment, by faith, that men and women and teenagers will pray. And by faith, they'll ask you and trust you to come into their life to be their Lord and to be their Savior. And Lord, I pray that those that pray, Lord, will be sincere and they'll never, ever, ever be ashamed to be called a Christian. Friend, would you just pray with me right now? Maybe you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you're not sure you've ever really been saved. Would you trust him today? Just ask him today. Just pray with me right now. Not out loud, but just pray. Just say, Jesus, just pray his name. Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for loving me. And by the way, he proved that love on the cross, no doubt about it. When he died for you and rose for you. And then just thank him. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And friend, I know he died for the world, but he died for you personally, individually, for your sin, my sin, the sins of this world. And then be honest. Say, Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. Buddy, I know I've sinned. I've lied. I've cheated. I've hated. I've coveted. I've lost my cool. I have sinned, and I'm sure you have as well. So just be honest. Jesus, I am a sinner. But then ask him, God, please forgive me for my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me. That word repent means I'm sorry, very sorry for my sin. And then would you trust him? Just ask him, Jesus, by faith, come into my heart, come into my life, and be my Lord. And be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. Be my leader. Be my King. And save me. asking Jesus, save me from hell and save me to heaven. Just pray that, Lord, I love you. I know you love me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, I admit I am a sinner. I do not deserve heaven. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me for my sin. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and save me right now. And if you prayed that, and I believe several of you did, would you just thank him? Just thank him right there where you're sitting. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiveness. And thank you for saving me here today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking, nobody moving. How many men and women and young people say, Brother Tim, I just prayed with you. And buddy, I've never prayed a prayer like that before where I really meant it and where I really understood it. But Tim, this morning I prayed and I meant that prayer in my heart. And I'm glad that I did. If you prayed with me this morning and you're glad that you did and you meant that prayer in your heart, would you just simply lift your hand one last time all over this building? Just give it up just for a moment. I see one and two and three and four and five. That's wonderful. I'm going to ask you five friends that prayed with me. Would y'all find, do me the privilege of just looking up at me just for a moment? Only those that prayed with me. Ma'am, you're looking, and ma'am, you're looking, and sir, you're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking. Don't say anything out loud. Just nod your head, yes or no. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but I do want to communicate with you, okay? So first question is this. Did you pray with me today and ask the Lord to forgive you and come into your life to be your Savior? Man, you did that today. Man, I'm proud of you. Young lady, did you also pray with me today? Proud of me. Sir, did you pray with me this morning? Did you do that today and pray with me? Man, that's wonderful. That's good. That's good. Young man, way in the way back, did you pray with me this morning? I'm just looking. You already been saying, okay. Young lady, you prayed with me? Little buddy, did you pray with me this morning? Man, I'm proud of you. That's good. Let me ask you this. Keep looking. I know it's hard. I know it's ugly, a little chunky, do you best. Let me ask you this. Are you ashamed or embarrassed of Jesus? No, he loved me, died for me, rose from the dead for me, saved me. Are you ashamed or embarrassed of Christ? No way. Sir, are you ashamed? No way. Love me, die for me? No way. Would you be ashamed of the Lord? No way. Last question. You go, boy, you got a lot of questions. Well, you're worth an extra 5 minutes of our life, okay? Last question. Should I pray? I'm glad I did. I love him. I'm not ashamed of him. Think about this for a moment before you answer. Today, would you be ashamed for the world to know? I mean, all over Wigan, all over, Cairo. I mean, all over the place. Albany or Albany, depends where you're from. I mean, if the world knew that today, right here, this morning, you prayed and settled this and asked Christ to be your Savior and to cleanse you and forgive you, would you be ashamed for the world to know? Young lady, would you be ashamed? No way. Man, would you be ashamed? No way. Sir, would you be ashamed? No way. Would you be ashamed? No way. Would you be ashamed? No way. I'm going to be honest with you. You cannot get on Good Morning America. You can't even get on Fox News and let everybody know. I got saved at church Sunday. You got to be like one of Billy Graham's kids or something. But you can let friends know and family know and those at work know and those at home know and those at the office and school know. You let those in this room know that today, unashamedly, I have put my faith and trust in Christ. In a moment, from the back row to the front and on either side, I want to give friends that prayed with me the opportunity to begin the process of letting your world know. Now, I know you can't let everybody know, but you can let family know, friends know, and those at work know, and those here know, and those in the community know that today I've settled it. Today I have put my faith and trust in Jesus. In a moment, we're going to stand. In a moment, I'm going to ask our pianist if she would to go to the piano, and she's already over there, man. She's ready to roll. And in a moment, when we stand, I'm going to ask, in just a moment, she's not playing yet, I'll ask Brother Tim to come, and he's going to stand right here in front of this pulpit. In a moment, I'm going to ask those that prayed with me just to leave your seat and come and say, Preacher, or Brother Tim, or Hey Buddy, or whatever, I prayed with Tim today, and I nailed it today. I wasn't real sure, but today I prayed, I asked the Lord to cleanse me, forgive me, and I asked Jesus to save me, and I meant that in my heart, and I'm glad that I did. In a moment, when we stand, and when my buddy begins to sing, I'm going to ask him to sing by himself this morning. He's a good singer. I'm going to ask those that prayed with me just to come. Young lady, in a moment, not yet, When he begins to sing, you've got about three steps, and you're going to be right here. Ma'am, I'm going to ask you to come. Nobody's in your way. You don't even just have to say, excuse me. And just come and say, Pastor Tim, I settled it today. Maybe you've been dealing with this. Maybe you've been struggling. I don't know. But I nailed it down today that today I put my faith and trust in Christ. Young man, if you pray to receive Christ today, if you did that, man, you got a long way to go. But man, tall, lanky dude, you got about 7-8 steps. You'll be right here. Just come and say, preacher, I nailed it down today. Sir, if you pray to receive Christ, man, I'm so proud of you. That is awesome. People are going to be happy and rejoice. I encourage you to come as well. We got some young people right here on the front, and I'm going to encourage y'all to come together. Y'all all family. And just come and say, preacher, we all ask Jesus today to be our Lord and be our Savior. I encourage you to come. Pastor Tim, I believe they're coming. Let's stand to our feet.